Hello and welcome from Good Shepherd Church of Camarillo. We're so glad you're with us. Here's today's message.
Well, by now it kind of goes without saying that life has changed so much in the last 6 months or so. Many changes just around in our world. As you look around in our society, things gradually gradually open back up, and I want to give a little bit of a visual for how much life can change in 6 months. Where is little Chloe? Christy, is Chloe back there? Maybe just hold her up. Chloe was born on February 23rd, and this week she turns 7 months old already. So that's exciting. She was born right before the lockdown, and she came to church, I think, 2 weeks after she was born on March 8th, and then everything kind of closed down after that. And fast forward now, and she's already almost 7 months old. It's crazy how much life changes. She's over a half a year old. Now, for each one of us, I don't know what kinds of changes you've experienced or what changes you're experiencing right now as, like I said, as things are gradually opened up. We're all faced with different choices, with different decisions about what activities to add back into our schedules. Maybe you're faced with a decision about where you're willing to go or where you're not willing to go, who you're willing to see, how many people you're willing to be exposed to. It can be overwhelming, all these different decisions. I know for us, we're kind of in that tension right now as school has started back up. There's a lot of activities you want to do, but when you've gone from very few planned activities now to things starting back up and different options being presented, it can be a little overwhelming. And it's kind of hard to know how do you fill your schedule and what things to invest time into. Likely, each of us probably fall into to one of these following categories. I'm going to share with you five different categories, and maybe you identify with one of these categories. Maybe you are the active. You're rearing and ready to go. You think, just get me busy. I'll do anything and I'll do everything. You want a full schedule, and maybe you thrive off of activity and just being with people. That's where you get your energy. You want to be active. You want to be doing stuff. You want your schedule full. Or maybe you are the second category, the overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed by possibilities. You're suffering maybe from decision fatigue. You don't know what or how much to add back into your schedule. You've had a break from all the planned activities, and now you run the risk of being overwhelmed or overcommitting yourself. Some of you, maybe this third category, the unaffected. Maybe you hear about all the changes going on and be like, my life has just kind of gone on as normal. Nothing has really changed for you. Your work is the same. You see the same people. And of course, you notice all these changes, but your life has just pretty much gone on as normal. Fourth category, the bored. Maybe because of your phase in life, maybe not much is really happening, or you just don't have that many responsibilities right now, or your options for activities or your weekly commitments are very limited, and maybe you're finding things to do, but you're kind of wrestling with this question, man, what am I doing with my time, or what should I be doing with my time? Fifth category, maybe you are feeling you are one of the guilty. Maybe you're feeling guilty, whether you're already busy or whether your life has been scaled back. You're constantly wondering and wrestling with, am I doing enough? Or am I doing the right things? Or, I'm doing different things, but I feel like I should be doing more. And it probably has something to do with different personalities and just the phase of life that each of us are in. But whatever category you find yourself in, or maybe somewhere in between one of those categories, God's word has guidance for us. God's word gives us answers about what is most important and what's most essential in the life of a believer. I want to clarify that these answers about what is most essential for the life of a believer, these answers are not answers that the government is going to give you. You're not going to hear this from the health department. You'll not get these answers from our secular society. You're only going to get these answers from God himself. We're taking a break this week from our series in the book of Revelation. We've been looking at the letters to the seven churches, and this message that I'm going to share today is just something that God has impressed upon my heart and really upon the hearts of our leadership here at Good Shepherd, because as we navigate this really tough season, we're just, even in church life, just trying to wrestle with, okay, what things do we start back up? You know, we've scaled back so much. There's so much we could do. What are our top priorities? And the same is true in every one of our lives. And I want to start by looking today briefly at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. It says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." I don't think any of us want to be foolish. No one sets out to be foolish or make foolish decisions. I think every one of us would agree that we want to understand what the will of the Lord is. And I think we all want to make the best use of our time. And it's really motivated by what it says here, because the days are evil. Because we know that the enemy is at work and we're constantly in this battle for our time. Amidst all the decision-making, all the activities that are offered or not offered, all the planning as you try to get your life organized, my exhortation today is for all believers, no matter what category you find yourself in, for all believers to commit to three essentials for the Christian life. Sometimes what we need is to take a step back and to refocus on what is vital, on what's most important and what's most essential, even in the church. So if you're taking notes today, I want you to write these down. Three essentials for every Christian. And this is really three essentials for the life of the church as well, but it applies very much in each of our personal lives as well. The first essential is to worship with God's people. Guess what? There is no substitute for gathering with God's people, exactly what we're doing right now, gathering with God's people for what we call corporate worship and Christian fellowship. That fellowship happens as we gather to praise the name of our God together, not just to sing his praises, but to hear his word being spoken and to hear his word being preached. There's no way around it. There is no substitute for it. I'm going to read, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Really, what we see here is a charge to us about how important it is to gather as God's people and to not give that up. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 23. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The Christian church, from the very beginning, right after Jesus ascended into heaven, began meeting together to hear the word of God, to sing his praises, to magnify God's name. We see this in Acts 2:42 and the following verses. It explains that these early Christians, these early disciples, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. In verse 46 in Acts chapter 2, it says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people." And ever since, God has continued to gather his people together, not just because it's the right thing to do. It's just the Christian thing to do, to simply go to church. We go to church because we're Christians. But because there's great power when God's people gather together. There's great power when God is praised and where God's word is spoken and preached, because his word is powerful. The Bible says it is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. When God's people gather together, there is something supernatural that happens. And the reason why is because he's present with us. He lives inside of each one of us as believers. He is present when his people gather. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." Anytime two or more of God's people are together and gathered in his name, he is there, he is at work, he is praised, he is glorified, and there is power in that gathering. One writer says something simple: "No Christian lives on an island for himself alone." Yet, that's how the enemy wants us to live. Wants us to be just a kind of on our own island, live just for me and with me, myself, and I. But we are created for community. Now, some of you are probably thinking, we know all this. We know this. You're kind of preaching to the choir. I'm here. I'm here. I understand that this is essential. Or those watching online, I'm here. I'm watching. There's probably all the comments going right now. That's great. But here's why we need to talk about it. I want you to look back at Hebrews 10:25. Did you catch the warning? The warning is to not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. There's a warning here. Now, I want to share something that I came across that really is pretty startling, just as you think over the last 6 months and just what COVID-19 shutdown has done to our society and even to churches. A July report from Barna Research revealed that during the stretch of time where churches nationwide were exclusively online, during that time, this report revealed that 1 in 3 practicing Christians had stopped attending church during that shutdown. 1 in 3 practicing Christians. Now, from what I can tell, our numbers are much less than that. With Good Shepherd, our church family has done overall a pretty good job of staying connected, worshiping together, whether it was online a while back or now gathering together in person. But I do have to say that we're in a time where it's never been easier to skip out on church or to get out of the habit. So the question I have for you is, this something that you are committed to? Something that you see as essential in your Christian life? Worshiping with God's people. The writer to the Hebrews knew that many people, many believers, were tempted to forsake the assembly. Because guess what? They were very high risk. What were they at risk of? Well, some of these Christians had left the gatherings, likely out of fear, risk of being persecuted. For us today, we're up against different threats and different obstacles. Now, I want to be clear that this is not my opportunity to tell people watching online, just come back to church. I know that many of our people, because of the circumstances, are still with us online. Many are engaging, they're tracking online, taking in the messages, worshiping right along with us. Many that are keeping in touch with others during the week, that are still an active part of the body, being intentional about that. And that takes discipline. It does. But I do want to be clear that our online setup, as we've done this fundraiser now recently, investing in new live streaming equipment, that online church is never intended to be a substitute for God's people gathering together in person. It serves a great purpose, but never meant to be a substitute. It's meant to be a supplement. It's meant to be a new way of reaching people and at the same time available for church people when circumstances prevent them from being with us in person. The intent is not convenience or even comfort. I'll confess, several months ago when we were doing everything online, we were doing pre-recorded services, and it was nice because I was able to go to church with my family and sit at home and pour the cup of coffee and sit in a comfy chair and be part of our worship service. It was nice. It was comfortable. But that's not the intent. It's not for the sake of convenience, but it's meant to amplify the message. It's meant to amplify the gathering of God's people. Whatever it is, the enemy wants to place obstacles in our way to keep believers from gathering together. And through these verses here in Hebrews chapter 10, we not only reaffirm how essential corporate worship is to every believer, but we also heed the warning that it gives to not neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some. So whether you're joining us online, committed to that, or committed to gathering together in person with God's people, heed that warning. Do not forsake the assembly. There's always going to be a good reason not to come, not to join, not to worship. It's like the enemy works overtime on Saturdays and Sundays, I'm pretty sure. Works weekends and works overtime. I think all of us can identify with that. So the first essential is to gather in worship with God's people. The second essential is to engage in God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God, or some versions say inspired by God, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Sometimes we make our study of Scripture or our charge to be in God's Word just a chore, something that's just important that it's important to do. You got to do it. But here in 2 Timothy 3:16, we see the benefits. We see the power of God's Word. It's profitable. It's useful for teaching, for correcting, for training in righteousness. And it's profitable and powerful for equipping God's people to do His work, to be equipped for every good work. The NLT, New Living Translation, states it more simply. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. It's that simple. God wants us to spend time in His Word, to engage in His Word, to take it in and to be changed and transformed and to experience the power of God's work at work in each one of our hearts and each one of our lives. There's two parts of this, engaging in God's Word. Because it's not enough just to simply gather with God's people once a week. God wants us to continually be connected to His Word. And the first is just personal study of God's Word. Why do we talk about that so much? Number one, it's so important. But number two, we continue talking about it because it's so hard. It can be so hard to keep that discipline. Our time can get eaten up so easy. Our Bible reading, our Bible study, our engaging in God's Word can just simply go on the back burner. But I do have to say that right now, because of technology and because of resources that are available to us, personal study of God's Word has never been easier. I mean, think about all the resources available. The resources at your fingertips to be in God's Word regularly. In my office, I've got several different types of Bibles, and it kind of suits any style of how you like to read. I have the chronological Bible that kind of puts the Bible in story format from the beginning of Genesis and tells the story of Scripture all the way through in chronological order. And it goes through 1 year. It's all laid out wonderfully, day-by-day readings. Then we've got the other one-year Bible where it gives a little more variety. It's got the Psalm and Proverb for the day. And then it's got an Old Testament reading and a New Testament reading. And my favorite one that I've used, because I'm a slow reader, is the two-year Bible. I love that one because it breaks it up a little bit more. And we just have all these resources. Yet we can find it so hard to just carve out that time to engage in God's Word, to simply read it and to simply hear it and allow God's Word to speak to us. I think back to my time when I was in Bible college. And in Bible college, of course, you're in classes all morning long. We had classes from 8 to noon, and we were diving into God's Word, but it was kind of intellectually, you know, as a lot of the mechanical parts of Scripture that you're learning about and the context and the history and everything. And I found that what I needed was just my own personal devotional time in God's Word, but that can be hard when you're in a dorm with a bunch of other friends and there's always activities going on and people demanding your time and other things that you want to do. But what I found, oddly enough, was in the men's dorm, and the basement was kind of a commons area, but because there was a curfew, all the girls had to leave at a certain time, And so I actually went and sat in the women's bathroom after hours. There were no women around because I knew that I wouldn't be bothered in there. And it was like 11 o'clock at night. But that was my time. That was my place where I knew I wouldn't be bothered. I wouldn't be found. I could carve out that time to just allow God to speak to my heart. Because God's word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. He uses it to change us, to transform us, to teach us what is wrong in our lives, and teaches us to do what is right, and equips us for every good work. Personal study, personal engagement with God's word. But second, study with other believers. There's these two parts of engaging with God's word. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That's what happens when God's word dwells in our hearts. And when we come together as Christians and talk about God's word, study God's word, his word dwells in us richly, and we're able to teach one another and admonish one another and encourage one another and share different insights that God has given to each one of us. And what we're encouraging this fall, first of all, I've already covered worshiping with God's people. It's as simple as that, number one. Number two is engaging in God's word with other believers. We have a couple different ways we're starting that up. Because again, there's so many different things we could add back in as a church. And then you get into, you know, is there a couples group? Is there a men's group? Is there a women's group? And all these things are great and wonderful, and they're ways to jump into God's word together. But in this time and in this season where we're just gradually getting things back going, we need to keep it pretty basic. We need to simplify and just let it be about, I just want to come together with other believers and study God's word. We've got two opportunities coming up. I'll share more about it later, but we're starting up a Wednesday night adult Bible study here at the church, studying the book of Philippians. The DeVicos back there in the way back are going to host a study in their home on Friday nights this fall. Two opportunities to come together with God's people to dive into God's word and to experience what God does when the word of Christ dwells in us richly and teaching and admonishing one another. Maybe you're already plugged into something outside the church, and that's great. The point is just to find a way to connect with other believers in God's word. Some I know are involved in community Bible study. There's opportunities through other organizations like Bible Study Fellowship and tons of things available online right now. And if a Good Shepherd group doesn't work for you, talk to me. I'll help you find another way. Now, as I talk about these essentials, and we're going to get to the last one here shortly, but what can often happen is we hear this and think, another thing that I've got to add back into my life. I want to put some of your minds at ease, those that maybe feel overwhelmed, or maybe the ones that maybe feel guilty. Am I doing enough? Okay, I'm engaging in God's word. I'm already in a community Bible study, and do I need to add that other thing back in? The point here is that you're finding a way to meet the need of being in community with other believers through God's word. So it doesn't mean that you have to add another thing back in. But what it means is that being in God's word with other believers is essential, and find a way to do that. I want to use another example from, this was then when I was in seminary. Of course, again, I'm studying the Bible and theology day in, day out, and I started feeling a little guilty in our church that I wasn't plugged into a group at church. But then I realized over time, like, wow, well, I have a lot of opportunities every day to be studying together with other believers, and God is meeting that need in my life. The important thing is that you're finding a way to meet that need. It's not as important that you just fill your schedule up with any and every opportunity. The last essential. So first we've got worship with God's people. Second, engage in God's word. Third, and finally, do God's work. We all need opportunity to pour out what God has poured in. James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." We're called to do God's work and pour out the love and God's word that God has poured into us. Also want to be clear that by doing God's work, we are not earning points with God. That by doing these three essentials, gathering with God's people for worship and engaging in God's word and then doing God's work, that this is the way, the pathway to earning favor with God. Ephesians 2 is very clear that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and what he has already accomplished for us on the cross. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast. But the verse that comes right after that in Ephesians 2 is that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's God's plan that he works through his people. And so these essentials, we gather with God's people because that's what God wants us to do, and there's power in that. And we engage in God's word personally and with other believers, but we also come together and do God's work. What I want to ask today is, do you have some kind of outlet? Do you have some kind of outlet for serving? In the church, we've got a lot of opportunities. Tons of opportunities. Even in this season, we're recruiting people for our sound and video team. We've got people involved with setup and takedown just to make outdoor church happen. Eventually, we'll probably be starting up some more hospitality things, greeters, and we're always looking for people to help out with the kids and the Kingdom Kids program and leading adult Bible studies or whatever that might be, helping out with the youth group. There's endless opportunities within the church. Maybe you're called to something outside the church, and that's okay too. If you're already serving in some way, that's great. Keep doing it. Maybe you're doing fine in that area, but maybe you haven't been as committed to worshiping with God's people or engaging in God's word personally or through group study. But the third essential is that we do God's work. We find a way to do something. We do something. I want to share with you a story of a man that I heard a testimony last month when I was at our Free Lutheran Church family at our annual conference. And this man had been part of a lot of different church plants over the years. And he and his wife, they were attending a church, and they were in the process of looking for another church because the church they were at was starting to veer away from teaching God's truth. And they saw an ad in a newspaper that said, would you like to be involved in planting, starting a Bible-believing Lutheran church? This was in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And it piqued their interest and said, yeah, we want to be involved in that. So they went and checked out this church. They were meeting, I think it was in an elementary school, very similar to how we met Good Shepherd back at Tierra Linda over in Mission Oaks in a, you know, a cafeteria or auditorium or whatever it was. He said there were about 20, 30 people there that Sunday, and they were there part of the service. And it came time for the offering to be taken. And the pastor got up and was introducing that, and he kind of looked at this guy named Tom. He'd never met him, but he kind of motioned to him, like, hey, would you come up and help out with the offering? Now, this is his first time visiting this church, so he realizes that he's talking to him, and, oh, you want me to help? Oh, yeah, I can get up and go take the offering. So he gets up and does that. And as he was sharing his testimony, he said, that was the last time that I ever relaxed in church. Because after that, they got plugged in to this church. They started serving and they got on board with what God was doing in this church and reaching out in the community and seeking to build this new body of believers. Eventually that church grew and they found their own property, and that church is still going today. And then they bought a lake home up further north. And as they were going back and forth up there that on different weekends and everything, they thought, hey, you know what? We need a church up here. And they got together with some other people and they decided they're going to start a church up in that area. And so there they were, back to work. And he shared about different times that, you know, he'd show up and, you know, the pastor would pull him aside and say, hey, would you mind just advancing the slides for the PowerPoint today? And pretty soon, before he knows it, he's actually not only just advancing the slides, but the pastor was actually asking him to run the sound system and the whole works. But his point in sharing all of this was that church has never been meant to be a place where we just come and kick back, relax, and just take it all in. God wants to use his church. He wants to use his people to do his work. So where does that leave us each as individuals? Well, my challenge today is to think through those three essentials. Are you committed to gathering with God's people? To gather in the power where his people are together, where he is with us, and where his name is praised, where his word is being taught. Second, are you engaged in God's word personally? Have you developed that discipline? Even if it's just a few minutes a day or whatever that looks like for you, have you carved out that time to hear from God, to get into that habit? In addition to that, are you part of some kind of group, a community study together in God's word? And third, finally, do you have some kind of outlet for serving? Some kind of outlet for doing God's work? Those are the three essentials in church life. And what happens in the process, you know, like, well, what about fellowship? And what about prayer? Guess what? All of those things happen in the process. And as people gather together, we pray. When we work together, do his work together. We experience fellowship. We experience community by doing his work. And that's what we want to emphasize this fall. In fact, we've been intentional about we're not doing Sunday school this fall. Because we just want to, first of all, give some space for people to transition back to in-person worship services, first and foremost. And we want to give other time during the week, a couple different groups, a couple opportunities we've got, and we hope to add more as we go along, more opportunities, but to be in community in God's Word, studying together, diving in deep together, hearing from God. But then we're also encouraging each person in your individual life and even in the life of the church to find some kind of outlet for serving. Those are the three essentials. If you're wondering, oh, man, where do I invest my time? What things do I add back in or not add back in? Go back to those three essentials for your individual life and for the life of the church. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the ways that you work in our lives, work in our hearts. We thank you that you have called your believers to gather. Thank you that you are here with us as we do gather. Thank you that you unite us together. We thank you that as we hear from you, we hear your promises. We hear about the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy that we find in Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would challenge us today to continue to be committed to gathering with your people, that you would enable us and help us to engage in your word, to hear from you and develop those disciplines. And last, to equip us to do your work that you've called us to do. Give us insight. Open our eyes to the needs. Open our eyes to the ways that you want to use us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.